So you can tell from that story that Chetul Rinpoche is not interested in fame or fortunes. He's one of the most loved teachers by Tibetan and Nepali people. To say that he takes the Bodhisattva vows seriously is an understatement. He tirelessly engages in all manner of activities to free beings from suffering. So just to remind you of the four immeasurables, which are the foundation of the Mahayana path and the Bodhisattva path, these include developing boundless loving kindness for all beings, boundless compassion for all beings, boundless mudita for all beings, and boundless equanimity, which can be translated as a desire to help others, regardless of size or status. One area that Chetul Rinpoche is very adamant about is vegetarianism. There are two signs outside his monastery. The first one reads, "In this Buddhist monastery, the consumption of meat, alcoholic beverage and tobacco, as well as playing cards or gambling, is strictly prohibited." The second sign says, "How can we practice true compassion while we consume the flesh of an animal to fatten our own flesh? Stop this filthy habit for your health, for the environment and for the animals." He doesn't just advocate avoiding eating meat, he also advocates actively protecting life. Once a year, he frees about 70 truckloads of live fish that he buys off fishermen in Calcutta. He takes them to a prohibited fishing area, and whilst he releases them, he prays for everyone that they may gain a higher rebirth, be able to practice Dharma and attain enlightenment. Many people have asked him why he doesn't eat meat. He says he is following the teaching of the Buddha. Some Tibetans say that if you pray for the animal whilst you eat it, it brings blessings to the animal. He says he does not have these supernatural powers. And in these practices, you only eat a very small amount of the being's flesh. Eating this flesh is not for sustenance. By eating meat as a dietary supplement without these powers, we are creating negative karma. The next point I want to make is that he is very selective about who he teaches. He will not waste any time on insincere practitioners or on people who want to play or collect teachings like they are shopping. He is very suspicious of Westerners, particularly men, since an American man strangled him in 2002. There are different versions of this story, but essentially this man was requested a private meeting with Chetul Rinpoche in his Darjeeling monastery. I have heard that he requested teachings from Chetul Rinpoche several times and he had not been given them, as Rinpoche did not feel he was ready to receive them. When he was denied these teachings for the 17th time, he strangled Chetul Rinpoche. His assistants eventually came and beat the man off with their slippers. However, he did not see students for some time after this, and he is now very wary of meeting Westerners, especially men. The man in Darjeeling was diagnosed with psychosis and spent time in a psychiatric hospital in the USA. In the true spirit of a bodhisattva, Chetul Rinpoche called to see how he was doing. Many people come wanting to be given Dzogchen teachings, even bringing large quantities of money, and he sends them away. Disciples are expected to study with him for 6 years to prove their seriousness and aptitude before being given higher teachings. They are expected to do their preliminary practices, then a three-year retreat, and then observation of their guru for 3 years. Often when Westerners offer him money, he throws it back at them. There is a story of Richard Gere bringing him a large quantity of money recently, where Rinpoche declined and sent it back to him, adding some more of his own money, saying, "You need it more than I do."